Next on schedule is the KPFK general manager, Bernard Duncan, and I believe he's going to want to project something onto the screen behind me. So for that portion, we will vacate from in front of the screen. Bernard, will you be speaking first or presenting on the screen first? Little both. Okay, so we're going to just step to the side so we can all see the screen, okay? Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Bernard Duncan, general manager of KPFK. Thank you.
Ken, maybe we should move your... Oh, okay.
Are you ready?
Dim the theater lights.
Are you? Have you told it that it's sending it out?
Tell me how to do that, John. Tell me how to do that. Normally I just plug it in and it goes up.
You go to the movie theater and up in the front.
It should be. It'll come up behind it now. It'll be. You just get rid of that window and go back to the PMV thing. Okay. Yeah, if you just open it. That's a beautiful moment. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I feel badly with my back facing you, so I'll try and turn as much as I can back to the public. But if I may indulge myself just for a minute, I would like to make... I'm from New Zealand, in case you don't know, and I'd just like to welcome you and greet you in the Māori language, if that doesn't trouble you. Kia ora. Ko aku nei kōrero mō tēnei pō e pāna ki te KPFK. Ko Bernard Duncan ahau. Nā reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Tēnā koutou. Tēnā tātou katoa. Thank you. And just a greeting in a few of the South Pacific languages from the nations close to me. Malawi lele, talo falava, nisan bola vanaka, g'day. Nice to see you. Look, I feel especially privileged, and I'm sorry for the public that my back is to you, especially privileged to be able to address you at the meeting, because I know the other station managers have provided their reports and you've read those, but I get the privilege of seeing you and talking to you, and I do appreciate that, and I thank you. And I welcome you, as did Michael, to the wonderful city of Los Angeles. What I want to do is take a little bit of time to talk you through the report. I'm sure you've read it already because it came to you in your materials, but I will just run through some other stuff, and I won't go into any of the major specifics that are in that report, but I will just talk about some of the things that have happened since the last report that you had, and certainly in the last year at KPFK. I came here in June of last year, 2011, as general manager, and since then a variety of things have become very apparent to me. Among those is the difficulty and challenge of being the general manager of Pacifica Station, of a progressive radio station in Southern California that has to operate within the strictures of the Pacifica bylaws, and also the way Pacifica tries to do the right thing as it continues to do so. In case you were not aware, have been a radio professional for more than 30 years. And in that time, I've never seen anything quite like this operation.
We're unique.
You can take from that what you wish, but I've never quite seen a network like this one. I've never quite met the people who gravitate towards a network like this one. And I think that that's actually quite refreshing. I've met a lot of good people, and I'm very, very appreciative of the people who gravitate towards us, particularly those who support us in many, many ways, not just financially, but the people who give of their time, they give of their love, and they give of their feeling to make Pacifica work. And the people who run for places on boards like this, who actually do want to serve in a tangible way and make a bit of a difference. You know, that's a good thing, and it's a bad thing in many ways, but it's mostly a good thing. It can make for an interesting day now and again, and I appreciate that. But what I'd like to just do now is run through, for the next little while, just to give you an idea of what's been happening within KPFK and the KPFK community, and perhaps one or two ideas for going forward. I want to start by looking back over the past little while. We've had some successes in the last 6 months particularly. We've had some real disappointments. Let me talk to you a little bit about transmission. When we go through this, I'll be talking about transmission, a little bit about funding, the financial situation, the viability of the station that I operate and how it works within the network, the Arbitrons and the relationship to what we get from CPB, as well as the money that we get from our supporters and our listener sponsors, the strategies for improvement, some housekeeping, and a little bit about our interface with our community, with the people who work with us and come to be part of us and who listen to us, that hugely important group of people, the people who listen to us and why we are there. The week that I started at KPFK, around about the 15th of June it was, a week later, KPFK went off the air for 20 hours it went off the air in the second week that I was at the station. I remember thinking to myself during that 20 hours, this is not good. And But we got up and running, and the transmitter at Mount Wilson had failed us at that stage. It's an aging Armstrong transmitter. It's it should be blasting the area with 110,000 watts on any given day, but it wasn't broadcasting at all through that period. And, you know, one of our other issues up on the hill is consistent and secure power supply. We're supplied up there by SoCal Edison, but, you know, even more recently as November, the Santa Ana winds that whip through here at this time of the year were the strongest, they tell us, in some 10 years at least. And they took the power out to our site up on Mount Wilson. So we were off air again, this time almost 3 days. I remember thinking then, this is not good. However, I can acknowledge the fact that that transmitter's been up there. We didn't have a viable auxiliary transmitter. Even if we had, our diesel generator up there was not in tip-top working condition, so it's unlikely we would have got back on the air quickly anyway. You know, you can't maintain an audience when you keep going away for 2 or 3 days at a time, and you don't expect to, and they shouldn't expect to have that happen. What I'm pleased to report is that we've got that up on the hill now. That's a brand new Nortel NV20 solid-state transmitter. It's officially our auxiliary transmitter, but if you've been listening to the station in the last few days, that's what you've been hearing. We have the permission of the FCC until the end of May to broadcast at down to half power, which is still a mighty strong signal across this part of the state. And so that's what we are doing at the moment. We're down just above half power. We're down around 56, 57,000 watts, as I understand it. And while that's broadcasting, our Armstrong can be brought up to speed. But the plan is to go forward by actually getting another one of those as soon as we can, another one of the transmitters you see in the picture, so new it's still in the plastic wrapping there. But we plan to get another one of those and run it alongside that one, because the way these new Nortels are designed, and I won't go into too much detail, they have almost complete redundancy when you run two of them at a time. So if part of them fails, it's a pull and replace, and it's not a big job, and it means that we won't be off the air, probably at all. You know, one can never, in this particular earthquake-prone part of the country, one can never make bold statements like 100% of the time, but it's looking very, very strongly likely that we'll be up certainly 99.5% of the time. Since at the same time that was going in, our auxiliary generator has been completely overhauled and now has AQMD approval to be used. So if we do go off the air through power loss, we'll only be off the air for a matter of seconds, and that generator will kick in and come back, put us back on air. You know, this signal, 110,000 watts, is the most powerful this side of the Mississippi, so we should be really making the most of that, and we're putting ourselves in a position to do just that going forward. Okay, back to the other business that's going on at the moment. In August of last year, I was exposed to my very first KPFK fund drive. We do far too many of these things, and it's a model that, you know, for my way of thinking, well, we'll talk about that a little bit later. It was a very successful fund drive, that one in August, and I have to tell you that we have a variety of theories as to why that might be the case, and I think the strongest, the one that might hold the most water for us, is that when that fund drive came along, we had not had a fund drive for more than 2 months previous to it. So our programming had managed to get some momentum behind it. We had our regular hosts on the air doing their thing on a daily basis, and we were able to build some audience. And I think that was only a 10-day fund drive, and we pulled in considerably more than was our target. I'm just going to let you think about that for a moment and grab a glass of water. Thank you. I appreciate that. The two fund drives we have had since then, October and December, have not been as successful as we had wanted them to. Both of them have fallen short of our target. I think it's kind of interesting to note that when we established the budget towards the end of last year, when we were putting down the numbers based on previous experience, that we set. I feel like I set the target for the October fund drive at a realistic level. However, we didn't succeed in meeting that. We had some transmission issues going up to that, obviously. But we didn't meet the target. And my original target for the December fund drive, I raised because of that. I have to say that the December fund drive actually did achieve our original budgeted target, but it didn't make the new target, which was ambitious to say the least. So anyway, the ongoing funding is of considerable concern to me, and I just want to make that clear to everyone here and everybody who's listening on the stream and who will listen later. The issue for me is that continuing to get into these fund drives as often as we seem to be doing now is interrupting our regular popular programming, the important programming that we're able to deliver when we're not in fund drive, and that's not a sustainable model as far as I'm concerned. To put it bluntly, I think the funding model that we've been using is past its sell-by date. And I think we need to be thinking of new and different ways to actually make things happen. What I've done is embarked on a program of finding out how KPFK can change its funding model to elicit funds from other, not generally on the air, not using our airwaves as much as we do. We accept that we will always probably have to have fund drives. You know, we don't have a George Soros who's going to come along and pat us on the head. But what we will do is try and reduce the number of those fund drives in a couple of ways, and there are a variety of strategies. You're in the entertainment hub of the country. We have a number of people in this town who are big movers and shakers in that community and who are friends of our station. And we know that because they visit us, and when we call on them, they'll generally do stuff for us. What we need to do, I think, is embark on a major donor program that's serious and actually does take advantage of some of the things that are available to us in this town. I'm also in the process of investigating the legalities and entering into an arrangement with a fundraising canvassing organization along the lines of what Greenpeace do, to try and do two things. One, to raise the awareness of the station so that we bring in more listeners and the potential for more subscribers and some more supporters. And also so we actually do bring the money in the door. And I'll report back on that as time goes on, and we're not far away from that. I've also looked at a variety of other ways to sort of get ourselves out into the community and be seen, because that makes a huge difference to the people who actually gravitate towards the station. We've identified a number of the grant foundations that are available to non-profit organizations like ours, and we're doing some work on finding out what the likelihood, the viability of approaching that sort of aspect of fundraising is for us. We had a very modest success with a funding foundation towards the end of last year. Very small amount to us in the amount of $5,000, but you know, it's a start, I think. And that's the way we intend to continue. One of the first things that I saw when I got here some 6 or 7 months ago was that there was a need to set some systems in place. There was a distinct lack of formality about the way things were happening around the station and within the whole within our whole group, the way we actually operate as a unit within that building that you were in last night. And it was great to be able to host you there and to see you there and meet up with so many of you and talk to so many of you. But for me, coming into that situation, in an operation like this that's been operating for a long time, has a lot of long-standing staff, you know, people tend to do stuff they don't even feel like they're recognized for doing because it's not part of their standard function. And it just gets done because they know it has to be done, and they put in the hours that it takes and they do it. And I kind of look at that as a form of function creep. And what that means is that, you know, people have their job designations, and, you know, the formal job descriptions go by the wayside sometimes, but they do a little bit of other stuff on the side, and perhaps that doesn't give them the amount of concentration time they need for the actual function that they're in the building for. So what I've done is set up a few things to try and clear up some of those things and establish more definitive job descriptions that we can work with people who, and I mean, you know, the paid staff at the organization do a fantastic job. They are dedicated, hardworking, talented people. They really are. And they do a lot more than you would normally think a person is capable of doing in many cases. But I think some formality around the job descriptions is important, because we can use that as a basis going forward to have a meaningful and realistic job appraisal situation, a performance appraisal system on an annual basis where people can be recognized for what they're doing and, in fact, coached if they need some help in other areas of what they're not doing. And what we've also done is, going forward, the things that I wanted to look at were some of the policies that we operate under, because there seems to be a lack of formality in some of those things. I also wanted to reinstate and update an employee broadcaster handbook, so we've got some real guidelines to go by and work against. I wanted to get the staff to tell me in their own terms what their day is like, so that we can actually work towards this building of job descriptions, real job descriptions, and set up a performance appraisal. And coming into a place like this that's been operating for some time, I also wanted to have a look at what we have on the air. So I've established a program evaluation that the programmers are actually working through even as we speak. In fact, the due date for the return of those program evaluation forms that I distributed last year is around now. So I'm starting to see those all come back in very quickly. We've reestablished the on-air report to the listener on a monthly basis, where I go into the studio and take calls for an hour. We're talking about, in fact, we intend to broaden that out a bit, so it's not just me, so that my program director is in there too from time to time, so that Michael, as the chair of the LSB, can get in there and we can get listeners exposed to the expertise across our whole group, because you know, that they get a chance to then ask the questions and make the comments. Those have been extremely rewarding for me so far, and we started doing those back in August, and the last one of those was just 2 weeks ago. And for me, they're a real eye-opener, and a lot of the time the same people call in, but we are building a greater constituency there, and more diverse group of people are calling. A lot of it's become a lot more positive than when I first started doing these things too. And the other thing, as Michael mentioned, is we've had two great town hall meetings in the last year, and I wanted to just commend an LSB member who was one of your number up until the recent officer elections, Rodrigo Argueta, who was the impetus behind the Spanish language town hall meeting that we had towards the end of last year, which went, from my way of thinking, extremely well. Okay, so we've been through the list of things that I kind of wanted to get through in terms of the nuts and bolts of the situation, from getting in and starting to make some changes, or maybe just to specify some realities and put things into some formal way of working. We've made some slight modifications to our programming in the last little while. You may well have looked at it, but the program schedule itself is on our website, and I won't stay with that for terribly much longer. It's probably a little hard to read anyway. But the most recent modifications to our on-air program have come in the last week or so, when we've moved some things around and added some things to our afternoons, particularly between the hours of 2 and 5, as we get into that early part of drive time. And I wanted to give you a look at what we have on the air from Monday to Friday, from 1 o'clock through to 6 o'clock. This is the public affairs zone, and starts, in fact, at 1 o'clock with our health and spirituality programs that are streamed across the week. Then we go into Al Jazeera News, which we did used to have on at 3 o'clock. We've moved it up to 2 o'clock to shift some of the programs that were becoming a little more popular from anecdotal feedback, and to actually streamline those through the week. And we're looking at mostly public affairs stuff. And on a Friday, we go from the Arts Review or Film Show. On Friday, we go from the Al Jazeera News into a block of politically savvy comedy with David Feldman, Jimmy Dore, and the Pocho Hour of Power, before we get back into the Susie Wiseman Show at 5 o'clock. And I hasten to add that I'm happy to take questions at the end of this. I wasn't sure whether Madam Chair was interested in me doing that during the talk or waiting till the end, and I just wanted to check that with you.
Typically, I like to let people make their full presentation, then do Q&A at the end, okay? If that's fine
yep,
with
that's
you.
Great. That's okay. Wonderful. That's wonderful. Thank you,
Bernard. Okay.
In terms of our community outreach, we're trying to do as much awareness raising as we can on little or no money. It continues to be a source of frustration that our ability to promote ourselves in the marketplace is hamstrung through the limited budgets that we work with. And I often think that that KPFK is one of Southern California's best-kept secrets, and I want to find a way to change that. And I want to do that in the face of other public radio stations who are clearly able to afford significant advertising to push their message, so much so that just 1 week ago, and a number of you will have seen this last night, one of our competitors put up a billboard right next door to us.
Yay.
In fact, that red brick building behind the billboard is us. Thanks, Ali. I also want to acknowledge board member... I want to acknowledge board member Ali Lexa, too, who took the photograph for me, and I appreciate that. So I promised you a photo credit. You got it. So, yeah, as we've noted, that the red brick building is us. And we were, you know, it's KPCC has a number of little strap lines and slogans. We were particularly hurt by this one, obviously. So what we do manage to achieve within that limited budget is done in a variety of ways, and a lot of them involve the building of partnerships with people in the community. And they include a number of things, like our member benefits card. That's the 2011 version, but this is a card that goes as an add-on in our fund drives and is available to supporters and sponsors in a variety of ways. And what it is we partner with a bunch of businesses around Southern California who fit within our ethos, vegetarian restaurants, environmental organizations, that sort of thing. And we arrange to have discounts at those various stores for KPFK members who hold the member benefits card. There's another bunch of ways that we're actually trying to build our outreach and our partnerships in the community. We have a growing and dedicated film club that has been getting access to some great films, which are seen at no cost to some of our film club members a lot of the time, and those are proving extremely popular. Whenever we run a promo that says that a certain film is on and that you can pick up a ticket if you're a film club member by phoning reception now, the phone lines do go extremely hot on that. What we've done as part of that film outreach is partner with a number of film festivals that are passing through this part of the world, and in return for doing that, we get our logo in their brochures and in their handouts, and we also get our logo on the screen at screenings during the film festival. So I just wanted to show you a number of the ones that we've been involved in just in the last 6 to 12 months and give you an idea of the breadth of those, because there are a number of different ethnic minorities covered by some of these. And in fact, the most recent one was one you saw at the beginning of this little set of slides, the Tunisian Film Festival, which just finished at the beginning of the week just passed. So these are just some of the smaller things that we can do to be involved. And we enter into media sponsorships with various events that are coming through L.A. particularly and around Southern California, because our signal does go from up in Santa Barbara down to northern San Diego and inland. So we've got a major signal in a lot of areas to cover around that. But these are good things for us to become involved in. And we try and get involved as a media sponsor, because that kind of doesn't cost us anything but messages on the air. And in doing that, we actually are represented in the brochures and the programs that are at specific screenings. We've recently had some association with some high-profile stuff at the Ford Amphitheater here and at the Skirball Cultural Center. And also we had a presence at the cycle day, the Ciclovia Cycle Day, in the last year as well, which fits well with the way Pacifica works and what we're about. So in addition to that, we've recently entered into an agreement with the LA Weekly, which is a weekly handout newspaper in this town with a normal circulation of around 170,000. Once a year, they put out their Best of LA, and this year we had a full-page ad in that as well. So we managed to get seen in that, and that one has a circulation of considerably more than 170,000 from more than 4,000 outlets where it's distributed. So, you know, we're working through getting the profile up by getting things out in front of people. And the arrangements that we enter into like this kind of, they make the best of what we're best placed to do and to use, and that's our airtime to generate interest and attract new listeners and therefore new members. In practical terms, we continue to operate on aging equipment. That's a cause for concern, especially when the unforeseen happens and things do fail on us while we're on the air, and that's always a difficulty. But, you know, going forward, there's a number of things that we want to look at, and of course, every new day brings with it a bunch of new challenges, and while some of them are to be anticipated, they're often not the regular challenges that you would expect to encounter in the running of a radio station on a daily basis. There are issues associated with how to keep track of who is actually in the building and what they're actually there for some of the time. There are issues, but I mean, that's the nature of community, and that's one of the challenges that we face. There are disagreements between certain groups and individuals within our listening community and within our governing community and within our broadcasting community, and we need to navigate through those too. And there's constant vigilance required to ensure that what we broadcast meets with the mission and with the requirements of the FCC and with the bylaws. So, you know, there are also those challenges associated, as I showed you before, with the KPCC billboard, with being one of a vast number of radio stations in a major metropolitan center in the United States. So, I mean, I'm coming close to concluding. I just want to sort of finish off by telling you that sometimes I feel like KPFK is in a bit of a spiral. And the 2011 fiscal year was moderately successful for us in terms of revenue. The 2012 year, as I alluded, has not started out quite as well. And across the most recent six-month period, our listener cum numbers have fluctuated. But I think it's probably fair to accept that the trend is downward. And that's something we need to actually address. And our audience base is aging. And we have to recognize that and see where our wave is coming from and to make the most of it. But, you know, I try to be optimistic about a lot of these things. And, you know, spirals exist in nature. And a lot of them are beautiful, you know. Like the Nautilus Pompilius, the Shell, or even the Bard Spiral Galaxy GC M1300. So, you know, and the other thing I dwell on sometimes is that, you know, spirals can go up as well as down. And that's what I'm kind of concentrating on right now. You know, we've done a bunch of stuff that we should be proud of in this past year. We gave more coverage to the Occupy LA movement than any other radio station in this town. And, you know, Summer is to be thanked for a lot of that too, because she, you know, Summer's one of those people who gets in and does it when it needs to be done. And we had Summer reporting from the port blockade and, you know, just down the line in Long Beach as well when that was happening. But we were on the ground with Occupy LA as much as we could be. In fact, we did live broadcasts from down there on a number of occasions when we were able to. But I think looking forward, what we need to do as a radio station is to change the mold and to innovate and to make the most of what we have. And I just want to share a little story with you. I went to Baltimore a few years back for an NFCB conference, and some of you may have been at it. I don't know. I was actually working for a government organization in New Zealand then that's responsible for funding community radio and community television. And I went to have a bit of a look, and I got to Baltimore. I got to the hotel, and I checked in, and they said to me I was in room 928, and I thanked them very much. They said, go up to your room, Mr. Duncan. Your bags will follow shortly. Make yourself comfortable. And I found the elevator, and I went up to the ninth floor. And that, you know that thing you do when you first get to a hotel and you check in and you get out of the elevator on the floor you're supposed to be at? You look for that little sign on the wall that tells you which way the rooms go. And I got out of the elevator, and I'm thinking, room 928, 928. And this is what I saw. Seriously. And I like to use the picture from time to time just to, you know, to remind, because this happens to us all the time. And, you know, I like to just use it to remind us of the fact that sometimes there's not going to be someone to tell you where you have to go. And there's not going to be a sign. And you know, we kind of need to be prepared for that. And sort of think outside the box from time to time. And, you know, it all takes resources. It takes the resources you currently have and some you don't currently have. And I want to focus on some of the resources that we actually do currently have. We have expert, dedicated, and talented staff. We have talented creative programmers who educate, enlighten, entertain, inform, and soothe. We have a discerning and very vocal audience that we're proud to have, and we would like to grow it. We play wonderful music that's not heard on any other radio station. We talk to fascinating, funny, talented, and insightful people who move us and challenge us on a daily basis. They inspire us, they frighten us, and sometimes, just sometimes, they actually give us hope. And we have a board, and we have committees, and they have a huge amount to offer. And they care. They care so very much. So if our spiral is downward, if it's about how difficult everything seems to be, we're never going to pull ourselves out of it by continually reminding ourselves how difficult everything seems to be. We need to have a little look at some of the things that are available to us and make the most of them. And if I do have a vision for KPFK, this is kind of how it goes. In keeping with that Pacifica mission, our vision for KPFK is that we'll represent intelligent radio for all of a growing KPFK family. We'll be trusted and authoritative, cutting-edge, agenda-setting, vibrant, energetic, educational, and entertaining. We will conduct ourselves with courage and fairness and with integrity. We'll resist inappropriate influence at all times. And the sound of KPFK, its content, its quality, its authority, energy, intelligence, and courage will make it unique and will make it the pulse of the people. Thank you very much.
Aha,